Joshua chapter 1, great passage of Scripture that we can learn from this morning that can be an encouragement to us as God's children. The Lord here is speaking to and encouraging Joshua, who's taking over the leadership of Israel as they are about to go into the promised land. Moses has died. Joshua's the new leader, and God is lifting him up and encouraging him. And we can gain a lot from this passage this morning. Beginning in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." So I've entitled the message, "Unto the Land." Unto the Land. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we go to your word this morning. We pray you would use it in our hearts and lives to grow us, to teach us, to change us, to conform us to the image of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. May he be glorified in this service, Lord. And we pray you be pleased with every aspect of it, Lord. May we each open our hearts and hear from you now and respond. And we ask this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. I understand this is written to Israel, but understand that when God recorded all this in the Scriptures, it was for us as well, to teach us and to grow us. And in the Old Testament story of Israel, Egypt represents the world, represents sin. And when God delivered Egypt through the Passover, that represents salvation. And going through the Red Sea represents baptism. And then when they were told to go into the Promised Land, the Promised Land does not represent heaven. It represents the victorious Christian life. You say, but what about all the hymns we sing about going over the Jordan River into heaven? Well, they're wrong. Because you do not have to fight wars and battles in heaven. Amen? And they did have to fight wars and battles to take the Promised Land. The Promised Land represents what God wants for us, what he has given to us, which is to be a victorious Christian, to live for Jesus Christ and make a difference in this world. And that's what the Promised Land represents. And that's what God had promised to them. But he told them, if you go to Exodus chapter 23 and verse 30, that it wasn't going to happen overnight. It was going to be little by little that they were going to take this land that God had already promised to them. Exodus chapter 23, if you would, go over to verse 30. Notice what God has said to them about the Promised Land. He says, "By little and little I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land." Do you know that's exactly how we grow as Christians? Little by little. We don't get saved one day and then a week later we're grounded and mature in the Word of God and ready to fight all the battles that come our way. We're babies. And we grow little by little by little. That's just how it works. And God said, when you go into the promised land, I'm going to give it to you little by little. You're going to go and fight this battle and take this land. And you're going to fight this battle and take this piece. And you're going to fight this battle and take this piece. Which is exactly how it works for us. You say, but wait a minute, there's battles involved. Yep, there sure are. Battles with the flesh, battles with the devil, battles with the world. And that's how it works. But God uses His Word and the Holy Spirit to grow us and strengthen us and to help us to take the land that He wants us to have. He said there in verse 3, every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Now, if God had already given it unto them, why did they have to fight to take it? You see what I mean? It's not heaven. It doesn't picture heaven. Now, heaven has been given unto us, and we're going to go there and spend forever with Jesus, but we're not going to go there and fight battles for the victories. But He said, it's already yours. I've already given it to you. Folks, the victorious Christian life is already ours. He's already given it to us. But He wants us to go in and take it and to fight for it. Little by little, we will have it. And that is how it works for believers as well. He told them in verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Does that sound familiar? Hebrews 13:5, the Bible says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Jesus said in Matthew 28:20, lo, I'm with you always, even at the end of the world. He promised He would always be with us. And if you're a born-again believer this morning, God has promised His presence will never leave. He will help you and guide you and be with you no matter what comes your way. Just as He promised Joshua here. You know, the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? In Romans 8:31. So what we find in this passage is what God wants in our lives so that we might be able to go in and take the land that He's already given to us, which is the victorious Christian life. Now, Jesus mentioned this in John chapter 10, verse 10. If you want to turn there, please. He mentioned this life that He has promised to give us, and we can have it. But just as with Joshua and the nation of Israel, it's going to take some work on our part to make it happen the way God wants us to happen. Notice John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus here initially talking about the devil. He says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus promised that He not only is going to give us life, but He's going to give us the abundant life. But folks, just as with Israel, He doesn't hand it to us on a silver platter. We have to go in and fight. We have to be prepared in ourselves to be able to go in and take the land that God has promised to us. And so I found four things that God wants in our lives from this passage if this is going to be a reality for us. And the first one is verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage. If you're going to go in and take the land, if you're going to go in and take what God has already promised to you, be strong and of a good courage. Are we on our knees every day? Because the Bible says, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. How's that possible? That's only possible if God is strong through us. We have no strength of our own. We're weak. We're wicked. God is strong. So when God tells us to be strong, what He's telling us is to be reliant upon Him. Be strong in the Lord. Have good courage. Why? Because we have God on our side. Because God is with us. And so we can have that courage to go and fight and take what God wants us to have. The Bible says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. So if we're going to take the land that God wants us to take, and He wants us to take it, He's already promised it to us. He's already given it to us. We have to be strong and of a good courage. The Bible says, quit you like men, Be strong in 1 Corinthians 16:13. Be strong. Be strong in the Lord. Have good courage. And God's going to do it. But we're going to have to fight. The second thing, and one of the most important things, is it's not going to happen if the Word of God is not part of your life. Did you see verse 8? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Look what he's saying. Now, Joshua, it's your land. It's the people's land. I've already given it to you. I want you to go in and I want you to fight for it. But I want you to be strong and of good courage, and this book must be involved. God says to us, I want you to live the victorious Christian life that I've already promised to you, that I have planned for you. God has great things planned for every one of us. But it's not going to happen without the Word of God being a part of our lives. The word success is in the Bible one time. The thing that the world strives for more than anything else, that word's in the Bible one time in Joshua 1:8. What does man strive for? Success. Prosperity. By the way, the word prosperous is in this verse as well. This book of the law, he says, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Look what he says. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You cannot have the victorious Christian life without the Word of God. It's impossible. That is our food. That is our guide. It just isn't going to happen. And notice what he says. First he says, meditate. Meditate. Meditate on the Word of God. And by the way, that's much more possible when it's already in your heart. That's why we're going to start learning these scripture songs. Get some more Bible in our hearts. The Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. In Psalm 119:11. David said, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. In Psalm 119:97. We're to be meditating in the Word of God. We're to be making it a part of our lives. Meditate in the Word of God. And then he says, that thou mayest observe to do. The shortest word, or one of the shortest words in that verse, is one of the most important words, the word do. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, in John 14:15. God wants the Word of God to be a vital part of our daily walk with Him. He wants us to be meditating in the Word, memorizing the Word, but above all, obeying the Word. You know, the Bible says, blessed is a man, there in Psalm 1, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But verse 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Again, a passage about being prosperous, about being fruitful. It comes back to the Word of God. And so, if we're going to go and take what God has promised us, which is the victorious Christian life, it's already given to us. God's already got it all planned out. He wants us to have it. We've got to fight for it. We need to be strong, courageous, but we also need to make the Word of God a vital part of our daily walk. We need to be meditating in it, memorizing it. We need to be speaking it, as he said, it shall not depart out of thy mouth. But most of all, we need to be obeying it. We need to be exposing ourselves to it as much as we can. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, in Romans 10:17. In other words, we need to be in church whenever we can to hear the Word of God so that the Holy Spirit can use it in our lives. So if we're going to take this land, we've got to have the Word of God as part of our lives. That's number two. Number three is in verse 9. We've already talked about being strong of a good courage, but then it says, be not afraid. You cannot accomplish what God wants you to accomplish with fear. It's impossible. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare. Fear cripples us. Fear stops and slows us down. You know, the Bible tells us, 2 Timothy 1:7, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If there's fear, it's not coming from God. Because, wait a minute, we have the creator of the universe on our side. We have the creator of the universe living inside of us. He wants us to have the victorious Christian life, and He's promised that He'll take us there and help us accomplish it. So what is there to fear? Absolutely nothing. But be not afraid. This was the very thing that kept them from going into the promised land 40 years earlier. Was fear. The spies brought back the report. They said, there's giants there. There's walled cities there. Yes, it's a great land. Yes, there's milk and honey. And look at all these grapes we brought back. However, they're just too great for us. The people, the Bible says, they all started crying and moaning and said, we can't do it. Woe is us. Joshua and Caleb said, but we can do it because God's on our side. And the people wouldn't listen. And they got to wander for 40 years. Why? Because of fear. Fear cripples God's people. The Bible says, Psalm 118:6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? What a question. What can man do unto me? What's the worst that man can do to us? Kill us, right? That's the worst that man can do to us, is kill us and send us to heaven. That's the truth of the matter. But if God's on our side, we're safe. Unless He's decided He wants us to come home, and then there's nothing we can do about it anyway. So God says, be not afraid. If we're going to take the land God wants us to take, and by the way, He wants us to, we must be strong, courageous. We must make the Word of God part of our lives, and we cannot fear. But look at His last phrase. Be not dismayed. Now that word dismayed, we don't use it as much as it used to be used. But what it means is broken down or discouraged. Now I'm sure that every Christian out there has never had a time of discouragement. Right? Wrong. We know. This is one of the devil's strongest tools for Christians, isn't it? Discouragement. God says, if you're going to take the land, you can't be dismayed or discouraged. There's no place for it. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 1, if you would. I want to show you where they were recounting what had happened the first time they were going to go into the promised land. And I want you to see the word that was used here in Deuteronomy chapter 1. Notice down in verse 28. Starting in verse 26. Notwithstanding, you would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And ye murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, He hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our heart, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we've seen the sons of the Anakims there. Did you see that word discouraged there in verse 28? Who discouraged them? It wasn't the devil. Our brethren. Our brethren have discouraged our hearts. And that's exactly why they had to go wander for 40 years. God wasn't going to let them to go into the promised land with discouragement. And He's not going to let us have the victorious Christian life with discouragement either. Discouragement is not God's will. Discouragement is one of the devil's tools to slow down Christians and stop them from accomplishing what God wants to be accomplished. Go to Psalm 27. David talked about this as well over here in Psalm 27, verse 13. He said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. This is David speaking, a man after God's own heart here in Psalm 27:13. He says, I had fainted. I had gotten discouraged. And the New Testament says, don't be weary. Unless, he said, I had believed to see what's coming. You know, no matter what the trials are that are going to come in life, we're going to heaven. Amen? We're going to spend forever with Jesus. That's done. That can't be changed. David said, I had fainted. I had fainted by the way. I'd given up. I'd gotten discouraged unless I believed that there's more. And there is more. God says, don't be dismayed. If you get discouraged, it's just going to slow you down and you're not going to be able to take the land. How many times have Christians turned around from going where God wants them to go because of discouragement? Just like Israel. Here's the land, it's all yours, go take it. They turned around, said, we can't do it. So these four things, God says, if you'll just make these part of your life, you can go across that Jordan River and you can take the land. It's already yours. I've already given it to you. I've already mapped it out. Here's the borders. It's yours. Go take it. Now you got to fight. Got to fight a battle here. Fight a battle here. Fight a battle. You got to keep fighting. Take it bit by bit, little by little, but it's yours. But whatever you do, be strong and good courage. Make the Word of God part of your life. A vital part of your life. Be meditating in it. Be memorizing it. Be exposing yourself to it in church. No matter what, make the Word of God a vital part of your lives. Also, don't be afraid. Don't allow fear to cripple you. And whatever you do, don't be discouraged. You say, well, but I am discouraged. Well, then you need to fix that. Get back on your knees, get back into the Word, and let God take it away. Because discouragement didn't come from God. God didn't put that there. Somebody else did. God can take it away. Because God lives in you. God is more powerful than the devil. And God has a plan for every one of us. A promised land for every one of us to take. And so many Christians are going to get to heaven and God's going to say, look at all that you could have had. Look at all that I would have done for you if you would have just believed me and gone forward in courage and not feared and not been discouraged. And just done what I wanted you to do. Look at all that could have happened. But then it'll be too late. God says, I want you to go forward now. Take the land. It's already yours. Take it. And you know, when Joshua got to the end of his life, one of the things he said to the Israelites, he says, there's so much land yet to be possessed. He said to the children of Israel, it's taking you too long. You should have taken the land by now. This is right before he died. Because they did it too slowly. They was complaining and moaning. They'd fight this battle and they'd say, well, this is nice. And they just get comfortable for a while. And then they'd make friends with these people instead of kill them off. And he said, it's taking too long. There's so much land to be possessed. And God says the same to us. There's so much more to be done. So much more that He's willing to accomplish through us if we'll just let Him. But it starts with us. Be strong and courageous. Make the Word of the Lord part of your life, a vital part of your life. Don't be afraid. And whatever you do, don't be discouraged. And if any of those things are true, change them. Because God finished there in verse 9 by saying, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Just a last reminder, no matter what happens, no matter where you go, I'm there. I'm with you. And that will never change. Let's go. Let's go into the land and take it. Amen? Let's pray.